Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Manapro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. Manapro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author Pat Foreman. Today is Thursday, September 23rd, and I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us right now in the live chicken chat room. You can talk with other backyard poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guests when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button that comes up on our homepage at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on into the chat room live, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about backyard poultry, show poultry, and sustainable living. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Manapro.
Manapro understands that poultry owners are as diverse as the birds they care for, which is why they offer both medicated and non-medicated starters. Whichever product you choose, you know you're getting great nutrition for your new chicks. Look for Manapro products at a retailer near you. Manapro, nurturing life.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, brooders, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at eggcartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
McMurray Hatchery is the world's oldest and largest rare breed hatchery. They have been providing their customers quality poultry since 1917 and have more than 110 different breeds to choose from. Be sure to sign up for their weekly special email at McMurrayHatchery.com and receive a $5 internet exclusive coupon to use on your first internet order. McMurray Hatchery, the world's largest and oldest rare breed hatchery.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce, I'll don my super suit.
All righty. Thanks so much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It's now time to welcome my wonderful co-host, poultry advocate and author, Pat Foreman. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Whisper. So how are you doing today? You're all over your writing episode or epic from the weekend. You're well-rested and you're sounding perky. What's up?
Not a lot. I woke up this morning and got Jen off to school, did a few things around the house, checked some email and whatnot, and then I decided to head on up to the brand-new grand opening of the local Goodwill, the Goodwill store here in the snooty town of Johns Creek, Georgia. Let me tell you, when I first found out that a Goodwill is going in about a mile from my house, maybe 2 miles, I thought to myself, I cannot believe the people of Johns Creek allowed a Goodwill store in their neighborhood. That was the first thing I thought of, honestly. And then the second thought, I was like, well, I guess good for me. And other people were saying, oh, that's great. We love Goodwills in snooty towns because that's where you can get all the cool stuff.
That's
so
right.
So I said, okay, you know, let's give it a shot. So this morning, 9 a.m., grand opening, and got in the car and headed up that way. And I've never seen that parking lot at that particular shopping center so full in my entire life. I got there about 8 minutes after 9, and the place was packed. It was a madhouse inside. I walk in, and really, you know, I get it, but it was a shame. The people that Goodwill brought in for this big grand opening were taking up more room and causing more traffic problems in the aisles than the actual customers were. In fact, it was every time I turned around, there was some guy or lady in a blue shirt wearing a little Goodwill badge. You know, they were there for the who's who and the how and the what and the he and to be seen and all this kind of stuff. Hey, Goodwill, Johns Creek. You know, they were all but they were taking up actually more room and got in my way going up and down the aisles than the actual customers. But there were plenty of people. The place was packed. I just kind of walked through to see what they had real quick and then left. I couldn't take my time shopping because I got hit by about 10 shopping carts from 10 different people trying to mull their way through. Yeah, it was just a madhouse. That's the only way I can describe it. And so I didn't get anything. And I know that Jen's excited to go because she always gets loads of good children's books there. She is pretty selective, but occasionally she's found some good children's books to use in her classroom and whatnot. She has quite the collection, and so I'm taking her as soon as she gets home from school today. And maybe there'll be less people where I can actually walk through, take a little time, and look at something maybe for the farmhouse, this or that. But as I was walking out, you know, I got a picture of the big Goodwill sign and was walking down the aisle back to my the parking lot back to my my car. And lo and behold, there's a $100,000 Mercedes parked out in front of Goodwill. So I had to snap a picture of that, and I thought that was quite interesting. But You know, hey, you know.
What's wrong with that? Even Mercedes owners can have cash flow problems. And besides, Goodwill's just a fun place to place their stuff. Hey, did you find any bibs and baseball caps? That's what I was wondering about. Any new bibs for you?
No, I didn't really look at any of the clothes. I did walk by the handbag section because I put on my Facebook, maybe I'll find a nice Coach bag for my wife. Ha ha, not not. But there were plenty of people taking a look at the handbags and whatnot. But yeah, so that was a little bit of my morning. I stopped by a little mom and pop, a little local mom and pop breakfast place. Got a biscuit, brought it home, and then continued working here in the office, fed the goats and whatnot. But yeah, very entertaining. I'm sure Jen's a little excited to get up there. They didn't have a huge children's book selection, but maybe they'll have a few that she could use in her classroom or add to her collection when we go back this afternoon, and maybe there'll be less people. But seriously, I'm not kidding. I can't say that there were as many Goodwill employees, supervisors, the who's who, what there as customers. But man, it was packed with blue shirts with little badges walking around, and most of them were just standing in the aisle talking to other people. Oh, you know Jim, don't you? He used to work at this department. Oh, you know Laura, don't you? And I'm sitting there, you know, there's five people behind you in carts waiting to get through, and you're sitting here just chatting with other Goodwill workers that you've flown in for driven in for this little shindig here in Johns Creek. So yeah, I was kind of more aggravated actually by all the Goodwill people there saying, you know, look what I did, look what I did, look what I did. Yeah, we're responsible for this store. That there was more of that going on than there was actually. So that was a little disappointing. I was like, get out of here. Let us do some shopping. You're blocking the aisles. So,
Whisper, come on. They worked hard. They were just chewing the fat, probably telling some chicken jokes, you know, and you're there zipping through trying to find bibs. I mean, it's like Walmart in a way, although Goodwill's nothing like Walmart, but you got a time when you go there so you don't have the crunch times. Of course, at grand opening, there's going to be a lot of people. That's the whole point. But anyway, don't worry. You'll get your bibs. I know they'll have clothes for you. It's all right. It's okay. Probably some boots, too. Maybe even a black bibs you can wear them as a tux like you did. Of course, you've got yours already. But anyway. Well, Goodwill in our area here is so popular, especially these times. I mean, you know, you got to realize the service they're doing, a lot of this stuff would just end up in the landfills. But our Goodwill, you walk in and it never smells. There's a certain smell that can come with used clothes. Ours just doesn't, it's always clean and tidy, and the clothes are all lined up by color. I mean, you feel like you're in the Colors United almost. It's just so well run, and I know they work really hard there. So, yay. Well, congratulations on getting a Goodwill in Johns Creek. I'm sure that everyone will end up going.
Yeah, and I was looking at the prices. I mean, to be honest, it crossed my mind a couple of times as I was looking at the prices thinking, okay, this is Johns Creek. Let's see if they up these prices. If I drive over here to Norcross or if I drive over to Roswell, if I can get the same thing for less, I wonder if the prices are marked up a little bit because it is in Johns Creek. And and I saw a few things that I thought, well, maybe that's marked up a little bit because of where it's at. They did have two absolutely beautiful, beautiful desks, work desk, office manager type desks, executive desks, I guess you would call it. They were beautiful, beautiful dark wood. Two of them. They were twins. They looked exactly like each other, and they had the built-in leather. Kind of on the top of it, you know, those very nice executive desks. And, of course, I just use a 6-foot folding table I got at Walmart for my desk, but I got $28.95. But they were very, very nice. They were marked at $200 a piece and well worth it at that, I would say, because they were in really good condition. And there were two of them, which is very cool. But
You can get an executive desk for the Chicken Whisperer. You know, it's time to up your image here a little bit from a folding table for a desk. You could probably even get a file cabinet. You know, Whisper, this might be your big chance to really become executive.
Hey, I got a file cabinet. I got actually at a garage sale, and you know, the funny thing is, I'm such a procrastinator. I looked at it and said, "Nah, should I buy it? I don't know what it was, $15." And I was like, "Nah, wait." And then, of course, later that day, I decided I wanted it and had to go, and the garage sale was closed. I'm knocking on their front door. Oh, you still got that file cabinet? I've done that before, though, with a little chest freezer, too. I looked at it, and I couldn't make up my mind. I'm like, I just don't know if I want to drop the money for this chest freezer. It was half off what you could get it at Sears or something. And then, I, of course, went back 2 days later and said, okay, I guess I'll take it. No $200 desk for the Chicken Whisperer. That money can go somewhere else. Elsewhere.
At Goodwill, they were $200? How much $200. Were the desks there? They were $200.
The
okay.
Yeah, but they were probably easily, if you would have gone to a store, I mean a furniture store, an office supply store or something, they would have been easily over a grand, $800 to $1,000. Yeah, these were the top, very nice, with the inset leather on the top. Yeah, very, very nice. But so $200 would have been a steal for someone who could justify spending $200 for a desk. My $28.95 folding tables work great. It's worked for 9 years. I've had this table in my office, and it works fine and dandy. So, but that was my morning. How about yours, Pat?
thanks for asking. I wasn't nearly as dramatic or anything as your morning at Goodwill. I mean, although I am going to help a friend install a fence this afternoon downtown. That's going to be I got my level ready and they got the, my drill gun all charged up. But this morning I finally finished the next blog to Murray McMurray that I promised Matthew, a couple weeks ago. So anyway, I got that shot off this morning. So it'll probably, knowing Matthew, is probably even up already. But that was my morning, was just writing and getting this out. And I love writing. When I get into it, I don't answer the phone. I might have a cat on my lap, but usually not. And I've got some nice soft music in the background. And I can just wrap my mind around it, and it becomes so clear if I can just get in that zone. So I was there this morning and had a great time doing it. So not kind of a nerdy thing to do, I guess, but that's just me. What can I say? Yeah. So here we go. Today is Thursday. Go ahead, Whisper.
Now that I know you're a fence builder, I may have to take you up on that offer.
Yeah, well, plumb and level. That's all you got to do is plumb and level. You know, I put up a gate here to my chicken run, and it took me 2 weeks to dig a fence post holes. I had to use a fence hose, fence post digger, add some water, let it sit overnight, take out a couple more inches, add water, let it sit overnight. It was so hard. I mean, it's like concrete here. We are so dry in Virginia. It's just it's a little scary because the threat of fire is very real here with the Thomas Jefferson Forest and just everything's so dry. But yeah, if you need help with fences, sure, I'll help you with them out there. Andy?
Cool. Sounds like a plan. But you're right, it is Thursday, and we have a great show lined up for everybody. Pat, of course, Richard Frudenberger from Back Home Magazine is here. He is in queue waiting to come live. We'll bring him on after the next commercial break. But also on hold, which we're going to bring on right now, is Matthew. With McMurray Hatchery. Yep, McMurrayHatchery.com. In fact, every Thursday is sponsored by McMurray Hatchery. And today they have another awesome prize that they have provided for our chicken trivia contest. At the end of today's radio show, we're going to have that chicken trivia contest. And one lucky winner is going to win a limited edition poultry print. It's called Ruling the Roost. It's the second in a series of limited edition prints by famed wildlife artist John Eberhardt. The artist has painted over 50 limited edition prints and has been named Artist of the Year by various outdoor groups such as Iowa Ducks Unlimited and Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation. The print has an image size of 11 by 14, and the actual print is 16 by 20. It'll be a limited edition of 500 prints, with each print numbered and signed by the artist. They are unframed. They're unframed, but they make a beautiful addition to your den or a wonderful gift to a friend or relative valued at $40. And that's going to, and one lucky listener today, if they know the answer to our trivia question, is going to walk away with that Ruling the Roost limited poultry print, again, provided by McMurray Hatchery. So let's go ahead and go to the phone lines, because I know we have an update for the photo contest that they're doing over at McMurray Hatchery and their blog. So, Matthew, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Andy.
Yeah, hey, Matthew.
Hi, Pat, and thank you for the article, too.
Oh, good, you got it. Okay, feel free to correct or proof or whatever you want to do with it.
Okay, yeah, that's great. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, thank
Super.
You for publishing it.
We've got some news about the photo contest, possibly some winners, and the next upcoming winners, the next contest that's coming up. So tell us all about it, Matthew.
Okay. Well, we announced earlier this week we've got the winners for the first category, the That's So Sweet category. And you can see the winning photo and read the story behind it on our blog, blog.mcmurrayhatchery.com. It's Elizabeth Robinson with a picture of the Buff Orpington and it's baby chick looking at it. So it turns out the chick is actually a Delaware and the Buff Orpington.
I just looked at it, Matt. That is such a sweet print.
Yeah.
or sweet picture. It's sort of like Ma Pa and Little Joe, you know. They're looking so wholesome and homesteady.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we've also later today we'll put the announcement up on our blog, but today we'll open up the poll for the second category, the Too Funny for Words category. So we had such a hard time narrowing it down, we actually have 22 semifinalists instead of 20. So there'll be a poll for those where you can go in and rate those so that we can you can help us choose the finalists.
Nice.
Yeah.
How many finalists will there be?
There will be five. Yeah.
Five.
So
we'll vote again on those.
Yeah, those the five that get the highest votes in this poll will be the finalists. And then we'll do another poll in a few weeks for the finalists to select the winners.
Okay.
And then,
awesome.
Yeah.
Now look at that picture. That is an awesome picture. Absolutely. It was sent to me and just looked at it. How about that? And of course, I would never be in the running for the most precious, but maybe the funniest. You know, you just never know. I may have to submit my picture in. Who knows what kind of votes I might get.
That'd be too funny for words. Got a potential there, Whisper. You know, you could. I may not want to go there while Matt's on the line anyway. But you could dress up in your really uptown bibs and with your Chicken Whisper stuff and just see if you couldn't be kind of too funny for words.
Absolutely. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. Get all the listeners and followers to just flood their emails with votes. Yeah, that wouldn't that be a hoot? Oh my goodness! How's the chick selector? I always have to ask this, and I just love it. It's just so every time you're on, I have to ask how the chick selector. In case someone hadn't heard, McMurray Hatchery does have an app for that, and it's called the chick selector. And it doesn't have anything to do with finding your mate, but it does have to do with finding the bright chicken. What's so funny, Pat? I mean, oh my gosh, I love it. I wish I would have thought about the chick selector. I'm serious, man. I love it. And where you can actually put in what you're looking for in a chick, and then all of a sudden it fires back a bunch of different breeds based on what you're looking for in a backyard chicken. So I think that's the coolest thing since sliced bread. I'm telling you, I wish I would have thought about it because I could really have some fun advertising. The Chick Selector app for your iPhone. That is so cool. So hopefully people are still, every time we mention it, hopefully more people are going to iTunes and downloading that. At least I hope so, because I think it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I get from Matthew. Yeah.
Well, Matt, is it going to be available for the computers pretty soon? Can I download it onto my Macintosh?
I think what we'll be doing is having a web-based version of it, so it'll, you know, whatever type of computer you're on, it'll work for you.
Oh, but, I like that even better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have
a big challenge trying to
for that.
Yeah, it'll probably be a big challenge I was just going to say probably have a big challenge trying to have it even work on a Mac anyway. You know, the PC probably just flow right through, work no problem. But, yeah, having them work on an Apple, boy, that would be a challenge, wouldn't it?
Stop it. Just stop it.
I know. I love it. I love it. Oh, man. So, that's so funny. I go and brag all about this great app called that from McMurray, and all I get from Matthew was, yep.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh, geez. Okay. Hey, I love it. I wish I would have thought out of it because I would have been, oh, my goodness, the advertising we could do with Selector.
But Whisper, that was everything you needed to know. He gave you everything you needed to know. Well done,
yep.
Matt.
Matthew. Yes. That's probably the only answer I deserve, to be honest. But I do love it. So, all righty. So, Matthew, if you'll tell us how all of our listeners can go and see all of the photos and how to vote, then that would be great if you've got that
okay.
information.
Yeah, if you just go to our blog, blog.mcmurrayhatchery.com, and there's you'll see the article right there. And there's also a link, chicken photo contest, just right under mm-hmm. the header logo. So you can click on that, and that'll have the details. The poll's not up right now, but it'll be up later this afternoon. And the announcement of the winner is there, and shows the second and third place photos and tells the story behind the winner.
Ooh,
and then
awesome.
One other thing I wanted to mention, you had, Andy, had asked, I guess 2 weeks ago, about this upcoming hatch season. So I wanted
yes.
to get back to you about that. We're the middle of November is when we'll start taking orders for next year's hatch season, for the spring hatch season, and I don't have
yep.
a definite date on the first hatch, but that's when we'll start taking orders, and then the catalogs, the printed catalogs, we start shipping those out right after Christmas. So
okay.
that's when all that'll
perfect.
Be.
So that'll be great. So if they visit your website or they happen to know what they want sometime mid-November, you'll start taking orders, which is great. And then after Christmas, we can expect to get that awesome, literally world famous. Everybody, it's like, you know, a lot of people are just so enthusiastic waiting every year on the Victoria's Secret catalog. I don't ever seem to get one of those in my mailbox, but everybody across the country is definitely waiting on the yearly McMurray Hatchery catalog because it's something that everybody looks forward to, the information, the pictures, the new breeds, any kind of products, the new products for 2011. So that's good news to have, knowing that they can start ordering as the new year approaches in mid-November, and then obviously starting to look in their mailbox for the world-famous McMurray Hatchery catalog
mm-hmm.
Sometime after Christmas in the beginning of the year. So that'll be great. I always look forward to it. It ends up being on my coffee table for everybody and anybody to actually see and look at. So perfect. Thank you for getting back and getting that information to us.
Hey, Matt, did you hear what Andy just said? He said that the Murray McMurray catalog every year becomes his coffee book table. He becomes
yeah.
the show book table on his coffee table. That's pretty cool.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
I'm not lying about that. When we have people come over, at least the last year I was just too busy, but we had a little bit of stock here. But we'd have people come over and we had to have baby chicks available the last few years, and that was, you know, one of the first things they reached for. On the coffee table was the McMurray Hatchery catalogs. Whether they wanted to see what a baby chick we had would look like when it was an adult, or read about it, or figure, you know, get more information about it. So yeah, it does. And that's the honest truth. That catalog ends up being right on top of my coffee table for anybody and everybody who comes over to the Chicken Whisperer Ranch can take a look at it. So perfect. I'm not kidding. So love to get that in the mail. We'll be looking for that. And I appreciate you getting back to us on that. So, folks, definitely go and to the blog, vote for the photo contest. You might help somebody become a finalist and win some awesome prizes there. And get ready for your order in November, mid-November, for McMurrayHatchery.com. And don't forget today at the end of the show, they provided an awesome limited edition print for our chicken trivia contest, Ruling the Roost, which is always, whenever they provide these, it's always a top prize. Everybody's always trying to chomp at the bit to try to win one of these. And every time we've actually given one away, I always get an email back saying, oh, it arrived today, and I love it. It's beautiful. I can't wait to frame it and get it on the wall. And so, yeah, so be studying and have your Google search engines ready for the question that I've already got sent to me today for today's McMurray Hatchery Chicken Trivia Contest. So, Matthew, thanks so much for stopping by. Looks like on the calendar we'll be again broadcasting next week, we hope, if all goes well. And okay. We'll see you next Thursday at the same time.
Okay. Well, thank you, Andy. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you, Matthew. Good job.
And thanks again for the article.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for posting it. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one because it goes into the numbers about how chickens can serve as a civic clucking civil service workers. So it'll really be interesting to see what kind of feedback we get on it. It just runs a little model. We'll see. Okay.
All righty. Thank you very much, Matthew, for calling in. We are going to go to Chickens in the News now. Chickens in the News here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer is brought to you by Meyer Hatchery up in Ohio, Polk, Ohio. In fact, they're sponsoring the youth show at the Ohio National. You can go to that website at ohionational.org, and you can visit Meyer Hatchery at meyerhatchery.com. So let's get over here to Chickens in the News. And, of course, those of you who listen to this radio show on a regular program, I'm tired of bringing these news articles to you about the same subject, but again, I think it warrants every time we talk about this, bringing it to people's attention. Neighbors feud in East Texas. And then here's my comment. This is on our Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. And my comment is, once again, another video news story about irresponsible dog owners. I think it's a fact that cities and counties across America have far more complaints, thousands more complaints in some cases, than chicken complaints. Yes, I know more people own dogs, including me, than chickens, but it seems people are quick to judge and complain about chickens, but give the dog owners a free pass. I agree it's not the dog's fault, but the owner's fault. I'm going to go ahead and go over here to the news article, and I know it's video, but it's also you can click on it and watch the video, but it comes to us from apparently Tyler, Texas. A heated situation between neighbors could now end with criminal charges. It began with one neighbor upset because he says his chickens were being attacked. Tuesday night, just before 5 p.m., gunshots rang out on the 8500 block of Smith County Road 334, and the dispute, according to officials, is still ongoing. According to Smith County deputies, a man saw his next-door neighbor's dog attacking his chickens. Investigators say the man claimed he saw the dog carry off a chicken in its mouth. That's when authorities say the man picked up his gun and shot at the dog, but that's not what brought authorities to the scene. According to the deputy's report, the dog's owner then came out of his house and shot several times. The chicken owner believed he was shooting at him. We spoke with an East Texas attorney about what rights homeowners have in these cases, and he says the man who shot the dog was completely within his rights. It's nothing new to Texas law. Back in 1914, Tob Hobbs versus the state, the shooter had to pay $5 for shooting his neighbor's pet. So far, authorities say that there are not any charges filed in either person that has been involved. So I don't know, what is it now? Every couple of months, we come on with Chickens in the News, and we started off with some other irresponsible dog owner that is not taking responsibility for their dogs and now is killing somebody's chickens. And then I get a lot of comments on my Facebook page that, well, they say, a lot of dog owners say, well, it's just a chicken. Yeah, well, it's just a dog. Okay, so, I mean, it's somebody's pet and somebody's property. And you have a responsibility, whether you have a dog, a chicken, or a kid, for that matter, to keep them controlled, whether it be in your backyard or a restaurant, and make sure that you're doing what you need to do as a responsible homeowner, chicken owner, dog owner, child bearer, to keep them in check. And so I've heard this so many times, and we're bringing you the story again just to shed light on the situation because we always have this story. It seems like every couple of months, Pat, do we not?
Yeah, there's no question about that. But what's scary in this one is that they both were shooting. I mean, not just the guy at the dog, but the neighbor came out with a gun. And, oh, my goodness, I bet it's an armed neighborhood, you know. So that I find that a little more disturbing than, I mean, that's kind of a, dang, that's kind of a shoot from the hip. A little bit too much, especially right next door. You don't know how busy or how populated that area is. But I know, if I thought about guns being shot off in my town, chances are it could hit something or really hurt something. So that's
sure.
I think it, even more of an issue here is irresponsible firearms use. Seriously. I mean, okay, I've had some dogs take out my chickens, and, you know, I did not shoot the dog, but I did talk to the owner later. But have the owner then come back out and start to shoot as well. That's like Yosemite Sam, you know? where's the villain? Anyway, that's a disturbing article. It's a disturbing article on several fronts.
It is.
I think I would
hear it now. And move. I can hear it now in the background.
Yeah, really. That's pretty good.
Out in Texas, yeah. You just never know. But yeah, I post these to let people know, again, I don't care if it's chicken owners, dog owners, cat owners, iguana owners, or parents. You need to control what's yours and keep it in check. And, occasionally accidents will happen. Occasionally a dog may dig under the fence that you've spent $1,000 for, you know, the one case. But then you fix the problem.
Yeah, right.
Happens over and over and over and over and over again. Right, exactly. Exactly. That was part of the Chickens in the News. Let me see if I have another one here that we can share before we go to break, and then bring on a Richard Frudenberger with Back
okay.
Home.
I've just got a couple little shorty news. These are sustainable living in the news version.
Go for it. Go for it.
Oh, okay. Well, this one, I know it's been controversial forever and ever, but hemp, we're talking about hemp, the same stuff of marijuana. They have a house now made from hemp, and it's been built in the UK, and they say that the plant is much more sustainable building material than wood, and this has been going on for a very, very long time in the sustainable forestry and sustainable agriculture circles. The walls are made from the woody core of the industrial hemp, and it's mixed with a lime-based binder, and researchers say that an area the size of a rugby field, that's pretty much a football field, can grow enough hemp in 3 months to build a 3-bedroom house. I mean, that's phenomenal. The area the size of a football field could grow enough hemp in 3 months instead of 60 years for some of these hardwoods and the hardwood forests to build a 3-bedroom house in 3 months. So that's impressive. That one caught my eye, and I was really, really impressed with that. And the other
house doesn't catch on. If that house catches on fire, there's going to be a gathering out in the neighborhood.
For what? To inhale? No, there's none of the cannabinoids are in the hemp itself. It's only in the leaves. So you don't need. In fact, these are bred to where they don't have any of the THC in it. So that's really not an issue. It's just the whole marijuana thing is such a hot topic. It's anyway. The other one is subways serve as an energy source. You got to realize I just came from the Pennsylvania Renewable Energy and Sustainable Lifestyles Festival, so this one caught my eye too. They're doing, and this is in Philadelphia. Subway trains may soon help generate electricity using a new braking system and a smart grid technology. And this is being done by the Southeastern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority. They are piloting a system that converts kinetic energy of these trains as it slows down, and it goes and it charges a battery at the substation. And then that substation can help not only power the trainway, but it also can put extra power back into the grid. And this is from the MIT Technology Review. So there you go. I mean, we do have brilliant things that are coming along in the whole energy field. We don't have to always talk about oil. So did you find anything else there, Whisper?
I'm good. I think we're just going to go to a commercial break, and Richard's been on hold for a little while, so we're going to make sure we got plenty of time with our special guest today, Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine. Visit them online at backhomemagazine.com. So we'll go to commercial break, Pat, and then we'll come back. We'll bring Richard on the phone line. So stay with us, everybody. We'll be back right after this short break.
First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialists. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. They have incubators that hold anywhere from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. These durable, easy-to-clean, quality products come with a 2-year warranty and are the choice of backyard breeders through research establishments. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. And don't miss out on Brensea's September sale. Until the end of the month, you can save 20% or more on their full range of incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea. Technology you can trust. If you have experienced the disappointment of broken or weak eggshells, try Manipro's Oyster Shell. Adding oyster shell to your flock's feeding program helps provide the calcium they need for strong eggshells. So don't let those beautiful eggs go to waste. Try Manipro's Oyster Shell for your pullets and layers.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com. Or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thanks for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It's been an interesting show already. And everybody in the chat room is talking about apple cider and fall. So, and of course, now thanks to Love for Poultry in the chat room, I've got to go in the kitchen here in a minute and fix me some hot apple cider to enjoy because she's got apple cider on my brain now. So, but we'll do that here in a little bit. But it's now time to welcome Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine. Visit them online at backhomemagazine.com. A great publication. If you don't subscribe, you need to. That's all I'm going to say about that because chock full of awesome information that sometimes is shared on this radio show. And today's going to be no exception. So get your pen and paper ready. We have a great topic for you today. Welcome, Richard.
Well, hello, Andy. And, you know, that apple cider that reminds me, we just got in a load of plans of a homemade apple cider grinder press. And it's really something else. I've never seen anything as clever as this as a fellow who
who does a number of plants for us, and one of them is the Whiz Bang Apple Cider Press. He makes it from an old garbage disposal, or a new garbage disposal unit, the kind of thing that goes in the sink. But it's really something else, and you know, people who like cider. it sounds ridiculous, but it's strange but true. What you can do with things that were meant to do something else with.
That's really clever.
This guy's done. We have a couple. One of them is a plucker. Is it an electric plucker, tabletop style plucker that uses the conventional rubber fingers, but the whole rest of it is built. Home-built, and if anybody's bought some of those modern stainless steel ones, you know how expensive they can be. So the Whiz-Bang folks have built this scrounge it, recycled, and repurposed chicken plucker, and now he's got the cider press and apple grinder, and there's a few other things. So it's really something else, and we just got those plans in last week, so you know, it'd be something worth looking at on the website. But today we're going to speak about chickens and rainwater harvesting. So
yes.
That's what I thought in this dry season. I know Pat's been mentioned several times that in her neck of the woods the weather has been just dry as a bone. They haven't had any rain up there for some time, and the hayfield pastures are dry, and the ground's dry, and the gardens are dry, and I guess some of the wells are dry too, but I haven't had that kind of experience here in the mountains, but we have had some dry spells over the past few years. This year's been pretty good because it's been raining in the evenings. It doesn't rain much in the daytime, but it's raining in the evenings, and occasionally a storm will come through, so we're not suffering any water loss. But if your spring's drying up, or your water's wells are drying up, or if your water just isn't really as good as you'd like it to be. I mean, it could be too hard, it could be contaminated, it could have fecal coliform, it could have minerals you don't want in there, it could have even chemical contamination. Part of the answer to that would be harvesting it from the roof. And I know we touched on this at some point a long time ago, but I didn't really spend the whole conversation on it. So I think it might be, you know, might be worthwhile, you know, speaking about that a little bit. And I didn't know if Pat or you, Andy, had any comments about it, but you know, I'll be glad to either answer questions or just give a little rundown, and we can discuss it from there.
Okay. Well, why don't you go ahead with the rundown, Richard?
Well, you know, it's really quite simple. Any surface like a roof is a big, broad, open area that anytime it rains, it collects it, and since most roofs are sloped, I mean, even a shed roof or a lean-to roof is sloped a little bit towards the back and a little higher in the front, so the water will run off. If that roof, ideally, the roof should have either a tin construction or galvanized or painted metal. That's the best kind for harvesting, but you can harvest from other types of roofs, tile roofs. There's even concrete tile, and there's asphalt shingle roofs, and they have some other issues because of the tar composition that the base is made out of. I would probably reserve the shingle roofs for using it for other things besides watering the chickens, unless you filtered it through a sophisticated filter, but we're trying to avoid getting too sophisticated. So I forget the formula. I think Andy could probably look it up with his handy PC there, but I believe it's every 1,000 square every 1,000 square feet of roof surface area. Now that's horizontal roof surface area. Now once you tilt the roof, it changes it a bit, but it's close enough. Every 1,000 square feet, I believe, it's either 625 gallons of water or 1,600 gallons of water, but it's I usually look that stuff up, so it's not hard to find out, but it's a lot of water. It's a lot more than you think it would be.
Yeah, I've got it here, Richard. And it's so simple. I mean, it's just so simple. You just take the square foot area of the roof, and then you multiply that times 0.9 inches or 0.08 feet, depending on how much rain you get. So say, for example, if you get 0.9 inches of rain, you just multiply that times the square footage, and then that gives you the cubic feet of rainwater.
Yeah, or the gallon. I mean, of course, you know how many you can find out how many cubic feet are in a how many gallons are in a cubic foot of water. I think mine my formula was 1 inch of rain for every inch of rain on 1,000 square feet of roof surface horizontal. It came out to 600 and something gallons or whatever it was. But
that sounds about right.
You know, these are all easy to find formulas in books or by Googling. So that's not the issue. I mean, the point is that there's a lot of water involved. And you know, in my case, when I harvest the water from my garage roof and use it in the garden, and got you know, basically just use the existing downspout and cut it about midway, and then divert it through a another little offshoot pipe that goes right into a food grade plastic barrel that's laid on a deck, and the deck is strong enough to support all that 55 gallon barrel all that weight when it's full. You know, it's pretty heavy. So I double checked, make sure that deck was well supported, and it's on a concrete pier, so it's, you know, it's good and solid. And once you've got it in the 55 gallon drum, I've just hooked in glued in a bronze it could be plastic, but I had a bronze one, so I glued in a bronze hose bib or spigot and threaded it from the inside, and I was able to do that. It's hard to explain on the telephone, but there was a hole at the top, the bung opening at the top, and I was able to run a wire, a stiff boat hanger down there, and sort of hold a nut on the inside of the threaded of the barrel to hold the nut part of the fitting, and then just thread the bib part with the valve and the spout from the outside, and use a little silicone to seal it up, and you know, bingo, it was all done, and it has not leaked in 4 years, so I assume I probably did a pretty good job. The only thing I would advise people for that part is to try to avoid letting sunlight hit the barrel, I mean directly, because after a day or so of direct sunlight, especially if the barrel is a light-colored, transparent white type, the water can get algae in it, and you really don't want that. I mean, it won't hurt anything for a plant, but for drinking, it's, you know, not the best thing. So my area is just sort of out of the sunlight in the shaded area, so it's really not, it's a black barrel and it's out of the sun, so it doesn't really get that warm. And you know, it is good enough for the chickens, and it's good enough for the garden if it's taken out of there, you know, soon. I don't want to let it sit in there for days and days, because then it wouldn't be potable. But the only issue I really have is that the tannin from the oak, I have an oak tree and some maple trees up there, get leaves on the roof. The roof, the rain runs down and it does pick up some of that tannin, some of that rusty color from the leaves. And it's not really any harm, but it does discolor the water. And, you know, that works out pretty well. Now, there is a roof washer. There is a purchasable roof washer that you can buy, or you can make one out of PVC fittings, but that allows the initial flush of water from that first rainfall, from that initial part of the rainfall, to wash the leaves and the sediment and anything else off top of the roof, and just let it fly off away from the system, and then after that the rest of it can go down into the barrel. And this is something you can make yourself with, as I said, with PVC fittings, plastic pipe fittings, or you can purchase them. I really don't know what they cost. The cheaper ones, I've seen some simple ones as cheap as about $30. But the idea is to get that gunk out of the system by not even letting it into the system. It washes it away, and then the rest of the water, about 95% of the water, then gets stored in the drum, and you can harvest that or use that. If you, as many people in a big rainstorm, a 55-gallon drum is going to fill up pretty quickly. So you can string drums together in series. You know, when it fills one up, there's a hose at the top, and it goes into the next one. And that one has a hose to the next one. So you can string them out as long as you've got barrels. Or you can put them in one big carboy. Some of those, I'm sure people have seen this, agricultural big square white plastic tanks that are usually surrounded by a wire cage. They're real common now. I've seen them, and they're I don't really know. I think somebody was selling them around our place for about $225 a piece. These can be used. Some people bury them. I don't know if they're intended to be buried, but usually they're out in the open, and you can cover it with a netting or some kind of a covering so that the sunlight doesn't hit directly on it. But you know, that's a lot of gallonage. I mean, that's a lot of water. So I don't know exactly how much they hold, but they hold quite a bit. And that may be an answer to some people. So, you know, that's the harvesting part. And then, you know,
there's a question, Richard, from our community, and that is there are a lot of people now in Lexington that have are doing rainwater harvesting off their roof. And there's a terrible mosquito problem in Lexington, and they're starting to blame the rainwater harvestors for the mosquito infestation. Any thoughts about that?
Well, that's simply any system I'm advocating or talking about here that we cover in the magazine or that I'm just talking about here doesn't allow the water to physically surface on top of the container. We're not talking about an open-topped container. We're talking about a sealed. My barrel has a sealed top, and I just route the spout. I think it's a 2-inch pipe. By removing the bung opening, the largest opening on top of a 55-gallon drum, a 2-inch size schedule 40 PVC pipe fits right in that hole, very snugly, I might add. So there's no there's no ability for mosquito to get in the chamber. And with the carboy tanks, with the bigger wireframe tanks, same thing, and they're sealed units, so there shouldn't be any real issue. Now, of course, on top of a barrel that's sitting on your deck or on your ground underneath the spigot, downspout, there's possibly the design of the barrel will allow a little bit of collection. You know, the lip of the barrel will allow like a half an inch of water to maybe sit up there. Solution to that is to really find some plastic sheeting, something about the thickness of a milk carton, or just possibly some stiff wire, like a window screen, like fiberglass screen, and make a little upside down funnel, just an inverted funnel. You can do it with sheet metal too, just tin sheet metal, thin gauge sheet. Just make a funnel, an upside down funnel, so the collar of it, the top of it, is wraps around the pipe going into the barrel, and the bottom of it wraps around the actual barrel itself, so the water, any rainwater that's not going through the spout and not going through the downspout, is actually just going to hit that upside-down funnel and just shed it off the barrel onto the ground. So you're not causing any standing water in your harvesting situation, so the mosquitoes can't have any place to breed. And that's, that's the way I've do it. I mean, either that or you can just brush the water off, make it a habit to come by with a little broom or your hand, just scoop the water off the top of the top of the barrel after every rainstorm, and it won't collect for the mosquitoes to breed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's good to know. But I think some of them are doing kind of some homemade versions with different kind of containers, and I'm not sure they're very mosquito proof. I know one of the guys did he used a septic tank for his rainwater harvesting.
You can do that. And of course, preferably a new one.
This was a new one.
You can conceivably clean an old one out and use it. Have to be cleaned thoroughly with a. You know, we probably shouldn't even go there because it'd just be a lot more work. Some kind of a sodium hypochlorite solution to really clean it out. But you can buy damaged septic tanks from the suppliers, from the local suppliers, really for a decent price. They may be cracked. They may be miscast. They may have the covers missing or cracked, but you can fix a damaged septic tank for purposes other than the septic system, very very easily with some hydraulic cement or patch, and get the tank delivered and pay dime on the dollar probably for the septic tank, or pick it up yourself and make it an even better deal. And it'd be perfectly suitable for a rainwater harvesting. The only thing I would just put out there, because it's come up and I think it's a long shot, but or a long stretch, Sometimes the municipalities don't like to see buried tanks, and this is more in a suburban situation, but any buried tank sends up a red flag. Somehow they get it in their heads that it's a fuel oil tank. And, you know, probably the best thing to do is just to document the actual burying of the tank with photographs and dated photographs to let people see what they're putting in there. You're putting in a clean, new septic tank for the purpose of storing water and covering it up with earth, and then there shouldn't really be any issue. But I know sometimes a financial institution, a bank, or a mortgage office will raise a red flag about what's that tank doing in the ground there. Is that a toxic hazard, and if you can mm-hmm. show that it isn't, then you shouldn't be in any real problem, especially if you've got.
Are there advantages to burying tanks, Richard? I would think that the water would stay cooler and cleaner and all kinds of stuff.
Every advantage that you mentioned, everything possible mentioned, excluding the one fact is that you have to pump it up once it's in the ground. You have to raise it out of the tank. You don't bury it, in a 30-foot hole. I mean, it's the surface of the tank is just 6 inches or a foot below the grade level where the grass grows. It's not really buried. You could even have it exposed to the very top. I mean, the concrete's so thick it wouldn't really affect it. But I would suggest then having a hand pump. That'd be the easiest thing, having a hand pump, one of those old-fashioned hand pumps right through the top of the septic tank into the water supply, and that would be good for even sustainable living lifestyle things.
Well, yeah.
Pump, water goes out, your electric pump goes out, you can just pump the water out and put it in your bucket, and you can boil it and drink it or whatever, you know, feed the chickens with or water the chickens with that water. I have seen people do, and I would do it if I would suggest people do it, they use double, you know, backup system. You have a cheap hand pump for the backup, and then you have a small electric 12-volt system pump, or if you want to go a little more expensive, a small submersible pump stuck right down in the tank for pumping the water up electrically, and that's really all you need, especially if you're going to send it to a garden or something, which may be or your chickens, which may be 100 feet away or several hundred feet. There is some friction in the pipe when you start delivering it at a distance, so you may need a pump with a little bit of power there to get the water sent down the line. But yes, I would say that burying a tank has a lot of advantages, with the only exception being you have to get it out of there.
Okay. Yeah. Well, are there other types besides the septic tanks? If you wanted to do something at home, I mean, there are always these big with the that they're doing with the fuel, the vegetable fuel. You could use one of those as water storage.
That's essentially what I was saying before. The carboy, the big wire framed. Large gallon mm-hmm. tank, and some of those are 500, 300, 500 gallons, 1,000 gallons. You can go up from there. I mean, any tank, any farm or agricultural tank that is a traditional ag tank would be suitable. I mean, I've seen steel in Texas and other places. People still use riveted steel tanks, a cylindrical, tall cylindrical tank. You've got your wooden tanks. It's not uncommon to see a wooden tank. Cedar or redwood or some other tank made of wood, like a hot tub, like a wine cask. I mean, they're expensive because they're now being used as hot tubs, but that's another option if you have an availability of that. Fiberglass is a very common storage medium. The plastic and ABS high impact plastic tanks is even a more common thing, and then even hot water heaters. A lot of times the electrical part of the hot water heater is what goes out, the elements, the thermostat, that kind of thing. The tanks themselves are perfectly good, and they're clean, and they're available. I mean, people throw them out, and they if they're not leaking, they haven't been damaged in the process of being thrown out, or if you can catch it before it's been actually taken to the dump, they hold 50 to 80 gallons. I mean, that's, you know, or more, depending. And that's a lot of water.
Well, how do you rehab one of those, Richard? You got to take the element out.
You don't even have to. You just leave it. I mean, I would remove the jacket and the insulation, so you have the bare. It's either a black. It's usually just a black steel tank under there, or sometimes they're painted a bluish color, or enameled. I just remove the white outside jacket, remove the insulation from it, leave all the electric stuff in place. Of course, you've disconnected it, cut the wires off from the original supply by that time, and they're just. I would go for an electric water heater rather than a gas water heater, because the gas heater has a tube through the center, which will maybe get in the way of some things, but then all you got to do is put it on a stand or a concrete pad or on the ground or a piece of wood or whatever
wow.
you want, and that's it. I mean, you've got a spout going out and you've got a spout going in, and you're all set to go. If you
wow,
have to,
you could even do these in series, couldn't you? I mean, you could
yeah,
just sort of
yeah.
run them along. And, oh,
well,
well,
the plumbing's made to fit. I mean, so it's a 3/4-inch inlet hole, and you just buy your plastic. You know, you can buy black iron pipe, but why do that? Just get the plastic fittings, and so you the ins at the top and the outs at the bottom, and that's, you know, that's pretty much it. There is an in and an out at the top, and you just block off the other out at the top, and just use the drain at the bottom. Every hot water heater has a drain out fitting at the bottom, and just use that for your outlet, and then plug up. Leave your TMP valve. The TMP is a temperature and pressure valve, which most of them have. Just leave that in place. There's really no reason why you have to do much more of anything. Just water
awesome.
In and water out. Yeah.
What about
yeah,
calcium deposits?
I wouldn't worry too much about that. I mean, that really shouldn't. In fact, that normally affects more the rods, the heating element, and the towel rod inside, which isn't going to affect your water any. I mean, it affects the electrical efficiency of the electrical generation. It does not affect the quality of the water, really. I mean, it shouldn't hurt anything.
Okay, great. Wow, Richard, that's amazing. Listen, Richard, we're going to take a little commercial break, and the tip to use old water heaters as rainwater storage barrels, that's pretty – I bet they're going to start holding them at Goodwill, where they'll start selling
yeah.
them for a song to Goodwill stores. Anyway, we're talking with Richard Frudenberger. He's a publisher and technical writer for Back Home Magazine, and we'll be back in just a few moments.
Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com.
Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops. It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com. When you need an incubator, think Brinsey, the incubation specialists. Brinsey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. They have incubators that hold anywhere from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. These durable, easy-to-clean, quality products come with a 2-year warranty and are the choice of backyard breeders through research establishments. Visit them online at Brinsea.com. Brinsea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brinsea.com, or call 1-888-667-7009. And don't miss out on Brinsea's September sale. Until the end of the month, you can save 20% or more on their full range of incubators,
brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brinsea. Technology you can trust. Designed for starting and growing game birds, turkeys, ducks, geese, and broilers, Manipro's Game Bird Showbird Crumbles feature 24% protein and a combination of vitamins, minerals, and yeast culture. This complete feed does it all, from growth and weight gain to healthy development and even improved digestion. So next time you're starting some new birds, try Manipro's Game Bird Showbird formula and see the difference.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
All righty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. I actually pulled up a little website here all about septic tanks and just wanting to get a cost, wanted to share with you this particular website. Has all kinds of information. States that the typical concrete septic tank runs anywhere from about $500 to $750, somewhere in that area, and that runs anywhere from about a thousand gallon tank, somewhere between $500 and $700 for a 1,000 gallon tank for that concrete septic tank. So just to give you an idea, folks, of about what you're looking at as far as that's concerned. They do have large plastic tanks as well that can be used as septic tanks or storage tanks. So just wanted to share that with you. So today, again, we're talking with Richard Friedenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine. Visit them online and subscribe at backhomemagazine.com. And, of course, Pat's with us as well, poultry advocate and author. And we've got about 10 more minutes to talk about water harvesting.
Okay. Just a comment on the septic tank. A traditional septic tank has a divider in it down the middle. So that makes it a little difficult to pump from once one side's empty, the other side can't be accessed unless there's two pumps. So I would advise people, if they're looking at septic tanks, make sure there are basically septic tanks that are modified right at the plant to be not used specifically for septic, but more for water distribution, like what they call them, distribution box. And you can get essentially a big distribution box, which is the same size as a 1,000 gallon tank you discussed. So it just doesn't have the divider. It's all one tank. And you know, that's the thing you really would like to keep your eye out for. And they do make an ABS. ABS is just a acronym for the kind of plastic they use. It's a black, strong, high-impact black plastic. They make sort of a horizontal cylindrical tank with ribs in it that is meant to be buried, and they generally run about the same cost as the concrete ones, and they're often used in sort of a lightweight version. So that's a good thought. But what I wanted to get on with is talking a little bit about filtration, we discussed the harvesting the rainwater, getting it off the roof, and shedding that first few minutes of rain to get the sediment, debris, and leaves and other stuff out of the system, so it doesn't actually get into the storage tank. Large, you know, real units that are installed for in residential homes and for washing and bathing and such, the larger rainwater harvesting homes, there's a little thing called a water calming device, which actually, it's sort of sophisticated. I mean, it itself isn't sophisticated, but the idea is. But that is put in the bottom of the tank so that the water doesn't rush in and stir up all the sediment. So what you're pumping out is sediment, because there will be to some degree a cloud sediment and silt matter getting into the storage tank. So what you really want to do is try to keep that at the bottom of the tank, so when you draw water, it's not pulling that out. Usually the fitting that draws the water is just an inch or so up from the bottom, actual dead bottom of the tank, so you're not pulling that sediment out. And so the you know, you, people who may go on a website somewhere, look up water harvesting, look around, they might want to take a look at the water calming options out there. But the other thing that's important to some extent, if you do have a lot of sediment, which varies, but most people are likely to have some of it, is filtration. And you know, we really don't want to get into like pressure systems and pumping water through at 30 pounds of pressure through the filter. I would use, there are some very simple sand filters, like the kind you find for kiddie swimming pools. I don't even mean the bigger ones for the permanent pools, but just when you go out and buy the little backyard pool, you know, the 10 or 12 foot diameter to a, you know, 3 foot high thing, you'll see these little, there's a filtration kit usually comes with it, and there's a water a pump, some hoses, and a little sand filter. It's filled with a sharp sand that is used in these kind of things, and you can pick that up at your local home supply, or you can go to your local Prick Mason's contractor supply yard, and they have several different kinds of sands: the river sand, the Mason sand, and the sharp sand, and whatever. But you want the kind that doesn't stain, it's not that yellowy, reddish yellow kind. You want the white sharp kind that actually is used to filter water, and you can pick up these swimming pool filtration canisters fairly cheaply. I mean, sometimes you find them at yard sales. Sometimes you find them, people just throwing them out because those pools tend to be used a couple seasons and they just get thrown out. There's usually nothing wrong with the canisters that filter the water. And basically, it's the size of a 2-inch pipe going in. There's a canister with a snap latch which opens it up so you can replace the sand. And there's a 2-inch pipe going out, and the water is, you know, pumped through that. However, they're big enough that you don't need a pump. I mean, if you have a gravity feed situation, you could just feed the water in through the top and let it just soak and settle through the canister and come out the other end moderately clean. I mean, all the debris and stuff stays in the sand, and then you just clean that sand out every once in a while. And that's about the cheapest thing I can think of. You can even make something like that. Get about a 3-foot piece of PVC pipe, 6-inch diameter, the sewer pipe, and get a cap for both ends and fill it with sand and just let the water go in the top and let the water ooze out the bottom, and it'll work. I mean, it doesn't flow. You would want it to, the water coming at the bottom to settle into a second tank, give it some time to actually build up in the second tank and fill up. And then you can pump water from the second tank, but that's you know, that's an easy and cheap way of filtering. And there's also carbon filters, and you could even do sieve filters, just layers and layers of blue jean material, pantyhose, whatever. Just let it pass through some layers of that, and then it'll be essentially filtered to the extent that we need to filter it to just make it potable water for the chickens at the other end. I don't, obviously the material you use and the dyes and whatever in any fabric you use is going to some extent affect the quality of the water, but you know, for the most part, it's not going to be any kind of toxic problem, so I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Wow, well that's a great information, Whisper. That's filtration and what's dissolved gases or whatever in the water is always an issue. Well, Richard, this has been really, really helpful. And, of course, in this drought time and with our changing climatic patterns, certainly everyone ought to be thinking about their water supply. We can't live very long without water. We can go months without, or a month or weeks without food, but water's pretty well up there. Okay, Whisper, do you have any final questions for our expert here on rainwater harvesting for chickens, Richard Frudenberger?
No, but he definitely gave me a lot of good ideas that I hadn't thought about. Our farmhouse down about 3 hours south of here does have a metal roof. It's a painted metal roof, and currently it doesn't have gutters on it. And that may be definitely something we need to look at doing, is getting a gutter system so we can harvest the water off the metal roof. And then I've got really plenty of room to put in a septic tank, but I'm not sure. She got me thinking on that, because up to this point, I really hadn't thought about what I was going to do down there at the farmhouse as far as water harvesting. But so it helped me out tremendously today to give me some ideas and get me going on that idea as well. We are looking at, as we're redoing our bathroom down there, looking at, and I'm going to go back and listen to some old radio podcasts that we have, on solar hot water. And so, because we were looking at, we've got a 40-gallon electric hot water heater, but I'm going to go back and listen to that that we've had shows on as well about solar hot water that Richard shared with us. So, yeah, great information today. Thank you very much, Richard. We'll see you back here, of course, in a couple of weeks here on Blog Talk Radio on the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Radio Show. And, of course, all this information, if you listen the second and fourth Thursdays of every month, then you like what you hear, you definitely need to subscribe to the magazine. BackhomeMagazine.com is where you can actually do that. So, Richard, thank you very much again for joining us.
Okay, welcome, and have a good day, and goodbye, Pat, and goodbye, Andy, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Okay. Richard, just before you go, though, would you tell us how to subscribe to Back Home Magazine for those listeners that might want to get a subscription?
Yeah, Andy went through the website. It's www.backhomemagazine.com, and then the toll-free number is 800-992-2546. That's our toll-free line, and for questions and subscriptions. And then there's just the old snail mail address. It's Back Home, P.O. Box 70, Hendersonville, North Carolina, 28793. So that does it.
Wonderful. Thank you, Richard. Excellent. It's a great magazine. It was such a treat for me at the Pennsylvania Festival to be able to read the back issues and all those articles. I was just happy as could be. So thank you very much, Richard.
All righty. It's now time for our Chicken at Trivia contest today, which, of course, on Thursday is sponsored by McMurray Hatchery. The winner of today's Chicken Trivia contest is going to win an awesome limited edition print, a limited edition poultry print that is by famed artist John Eberhardt. It's only 500 of these are available. And it's a value at $40, plus it'll be shipped right to your front door from McMurrayHatchery.com. And so these are always a big hit when they come on and provide these for our chicken trivia contest. I always get emails back once they're delivered of how awesome they are. So what I'm going to do is read you the question, tell you the phone number to call in, and if you have the answer and it's correct and the right caller, then you're going to win this awesome $40 print, poultry print from McMurrayHatchery.com. And this is something you may have to Google or Scroogle or Yahoo search it. But first, the call-in number. But write it on a sticky note. Put it on your computer screen because it never changes. 347-637-3237. That's 347-637-3237. And, I just can't believe that Aaron has never had apple butter before in her entire life. That just amazes me. Never had apple butter. Oh, well, you know.
Yeah, it's coming through in the chat room. She will, though. I can pretty well assure you that she'll have some before the day's out to put on her toast or her biscuits coming up tonight. I love apple butter with a lot of cinnamon. Yeah.
Don't you love it? Don't you love it? All righty. Here, we're going to take caller number we'll just take caller number six. Caller number six. Despite their name, what city, state, and year were the Rhode Island Whites admitted to the American Standard of Perfection? Despite their name, what city, state, and year were the Rhode Island Whites admitted to the American Standard of Perfection? And, of course, Love for Poultry has put the question into the chat room. So if you know the answer to that, caller number 6-347-637-3237, and we'll be right back after we go to the short commercial break on a little tutorial on how to make apple butter and what it is. We'll be back right after this short break.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, brooders, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at eggcartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFRadio.com. That's GQFRadio.com. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
ManaPro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that ManaPro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. ManaPro, nurturing life.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
All righty, we are back. Let me get over here to the switchboard. A few people do know the answer to this question, so we've got about 4 minutes left. Let me get over here to the chat room and repeat the question for everybody. Again, we'll take caller number 6. Despite their name, what city, state, and year were the Rhode Island Whites admitted to the American Standard of Perfection? That's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking for. And then I think tomorrow's trivia question is going to be, what year was apple butter developed? What year?
Yeah. And how many of us have had it? Love apple butter. That's one of the well, – I like mine. I don't know about you, Whisper, but I like mine with a lot of cinnamon. I mean, just load that cinnamon in there with the apple butter. It gives it such a nice odor.
We had a special request for some chicken sounds. So there you go. Hope you enjoyed that. So perfect. Okay, let's go over to the switchboards here. We're slowly but surely running out of time. We're going to go to let me get my pen and paper out so I can call this possibly the lucky winner here as soon as we are done. All righty, let's go to the phone lines. Whoop. All righty, lucky caller number 6 calling in from area code 937. Area code 937, you're on the air with Andy and Pat. If you'll state your name and what state you're calling from.
Ohio.
From Buckeye.
Yeah, this is Nick.
Oh, hey, Nick, how are you doing?
I was afraid to say my name.
Why were you afraid to say your name? Oh,
because I'm too lucky.
You'd never be too lucky, Nick.
Well, yeah, you got you there. I don't know if I got this right. We'll see. Let's see.
Okay.
It was actually developed in Peacedale, Rhode Island, but it wasn't admitted until 1922 at the Knoxville, Tennessee conference.
That's all the information that we were looking for. Knoxville, Tennessee, 1922, that's right. So congratulations, Nick from Ohio.
Thank you.
Once again, you are our lucky winner, caller number 6, and knowing the correct answer. So, Nick, I don't have to tell you, you know the drill. Shipping address to me on Facebook. We'll get it over to Matthew at McMurray Hatchery, and we'll get this awesome print sent out to you as soon as they can. And thanks for being a long, long time original listener of the show and all your support. And hoping all is well up there in Ohio.
Sounds good, guys. You guys have a good day.
All righty. Thank you very much.
Congratulations,
and yes,
Nick.
I'm going to be seeing, actually, Nick in person when we go up for the Ohio National that weekend in November. In fact, I'll be attending a I think a meetup that he's got up there on Saturday night. So very cool. Well, folks, thank you very much for tuning in today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We appreciate it. I want to thank Pat, my wonderful co-host, all of you listening out there in Radio Land, all the ones who are in the chat room, definitely all of our sponsors that make this radio show possible every day, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Tune in tomorrow. It's Friday. We made it through another week together. Thank goodness. We'll be giving away some more great prizes from our sponsors tomorrow. Pat?
Yeah. Oh, boy. I always love Friday. Fun, freaky, frivolous, frolicky, and R for rated rooster Friday. Anyway, okay, Andy Snyder, thank you so much for bringing us all together and for your wonderful stories about Goodwill and biscuits. Oh, dear. Yes, and of course, thanks to Richard Frudenberger from Back Home Magazine for telling us about rainwater harvesting for our chickens. Of course, thanks to our chat room chicken ears and all our listeners for clucking along. We wouldn't be here if it were not for you. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio for providing the radio, chat, and video services. And, of course, blessings to each and every one of you, and may the flock be with you evermore. God bless everybody. Uh-huh.